Chapter 23. The ghouls lay covered in gray-white dust, as fine as baby powder. The remains of the wall Ramirez had blasted, their companion, his weapon, and the right arm and leg of one of the captive ghouls. The wounded ghoul, body shifted into its natural form under the stress of injury, lay panting and choking, spitting out dust. The second ghoul still looked mostly human, and was dressed in a ragged old set of sand-colored robes that looked like something out of Lawrence of Arabia. Another Kalashnikov lay several feet away, behind Bill Myers, the young warden now standing over them with a double-barreled 10-gauge shotgun pointed at the unwounded one of the pair. "Careful," Myers said. He had the rural drawl that seems largely common to any town west of the Mississippi, located more than an hour or so from a major city, though he was himself a Texan.
"I ain't searched them, and they don't appear to understand English."
"What?" Ramirez said. "That's stupid. Who bothers to sneak ghouls into the country's covert muscle if they can't pass as locals?"
"Someone who doesn't have to worry about customs or border guards or witnesses or cops," I said quietly. "Someone who takes them through the never-never straight here from wherever the hell they came from."
I glanced back at Ramirez.
"How else do you think they got past the other wards and sentries and right up to the camp?"
Ramirez grunted.
"I thought we had those approaches warded, too."
"Never-never's a tricksy kind of place," I said. "Tough to know it all. Somebody was sneakier than us."
"Vampires?"
Ramirez asked. I very carefully said nothing about a black council.
"Who else would it be?"
Ramirez said something to them in Spanish.
"Shoot," Myers drawled. "You think I didn't try that already?"
"Hey," I said. I stepped closer to the unwounded ghoul and nudged him with one foot.
"What language do you speak?"
The not-quite-human-looking man shot a quick, furtive glance at me and then at his companion. He sputtered something quick and liquid-sounding. His companion snarled something back through its muzzle and fangs that sounded vaguely similar. Seconds were ticking by, and we had a pair of kids in the hands of one of these things. I directed my thoughts inward to the corner of my brain where Lashiel's shadow lived and asked, "You get any of that?" Lashiel's presence promptly responded, "The first asked the second if he understood anything we were saying." The second replied that he hadn't, and you were probably deciding which one of us would kill them.
"I need to talk to them," I said. "Can you translate for me?"
There was a sudden sense of someone standing close to me, an almost tangible physical sensation of someone slim and feminine pressed against my back, arms casually around my waist, soft breath and lips moving near my ear. It was odd, but not at all unpleasant. I caught myself enjoying it, and firmly reminded myself of the danger of allowing the demon to do that.
"With your permission, you need only speak to them in English, my host," Lashiel said. "I will translate it between mind and mouth, and they will hear their tongue from your lips."
"I so did not need any image involving their tongues and my lips," I responded.
Lashiel let out a delighted laugh that bubbled through my mind, and I was smiling a little when I faced the ghoul and said,
"Okay, asshole. I've got two kids missing, and the only chance you have of getting out of this alive is if I get them back. Do you understand me?"
Both ghouls looked up at me, surprise evident even on the inhuman one's face. I got a similar look from Ramirez and Myers.
"Do you understand me?" I asked the ghouls quietly.
"Yes,"
stammered the wounded ghoul, apparently in English. Ramirez's dark, heavy eyebrows tried to climb up under his bush hat. I had to remind myself that this was not very cool. I was using a dangerous tool that would one day turn on me, no matter how savvy and tough it made me look in front of the other wardens. "Kids, Harry. Focus on the kids."
"Why did you take those children?" I demanded of the ghoul.
"They must have wandered too close to Murjek's position,"
the mostly human ghoul said.
"We did not come here for hostages. This was to be a raid. We were to hit you, then fade away."
"Fade to where?"
The ghouls froze and looked at each other. I drew back one of my hiking boots and kicked the mostly human ghoul in the face. He let out a high-pitched squeal, not a snarl of rage and pain, but a sound a dog makes when it's trying to submit beneath an attacker.
Where? I demanded. Our lives, hissed the wounded ghoul. Promise us our lives and freedom, great one. Give us your word of truth.
You gave up your freedom the moment you spilled our blood, I snarled. But if I get the kids back, you keep your life, I said. My word is given. The ghouls looked at each other, and then the more human of the pair said,
The deep caves above this dwelling. The first deep shaft from the light of the sun. In the stones near it is a way to the realm of shadows.
I shot a thought toward my interpreter. Does he mean the Never Never?
A region of it, yes, my host.